So thank you for the presentation, Jim and Chris. I hope you had you were able to understand a little about what is going on with the federal agencies, the two agencies who are doing exchange and they're advancing the national goal, as Chris mentioned. But there are many other agencies also, the DOD, the VA, the Department of Defense, the Veterans Affairs, CDC, CMS is looking into it, FDA is looking into it. So one message I'm really trying to communicate with my slides is to let you know that the federal government, the federal agencies are moving this forward. We understand the value, we are moving it forward, but we expect just not the federal collaboration, but also would like to reach out into the states and the private sector to really achieve our national goal. So what is the message from me? Free the data. We need to really look at that, because this is not about what you're talking about here is not about technology. It is not about we are doing an HL7 transaction or implemented SNOMED. It is about those patients. Think about that wounded soldier. Jim talked about a disabled citizen. Let me walk you through a scenario with a wounded soldier. Before getting enlisted, get care in the private sector. He or she get care in the private sector for 18 years. Gets deployed to Afghanistan. DOD is taking care of the individual. Coming back, you get care. Let's say bad things happen sometimes and gets care from the DOD, gets transported to Landstuhl, Germany. Right? Sometimes what happens is what I found out is they get care from the private sector in Germany. So now DOD information, private sector information in Germany. Comes to Walter Reed, get care there, right? But at the same time, he or she need to apply for benefits, social security benefits, discharged into VA, so getting care at VA, discharged, apply for social security benefits, right? Also getting care in the private sector. So now you can see all the touch points, just this from the care post. Think about the labs, the pharmacies, emergency departments, some of these individuals are rushed to, right? The care is all over the place. We got to figure out, we can do much better than what we do today. Right? And we are talking about a closed system. DOD's care, yes, they provide great care. VA, they provide great care. But that's a closed system. But what happens is 50 to 60% of the care for both DOD and for VA is in the private sector. So now they have to reach out into the private sector and get information. So it's about those soldiers. It's about those natural disasters. We went through the you know, yesterday was the, I think, the fourth anniversary of Katrina, right? We saw a lot during that time. Why information need to be electronic and it's easy to move information around. CDC scenario, H1N1, we'll talk a little about that. So all these are really to keeping that patient in mind and advancing the national goal. As you know, the information is not in one single system. Even within an organization, it's not within a single system. Information is all over the place, right? The idea here is to make sure we can link information together to provide a better answer to the situation that the individual is in. A lot of things that are listed out here, critical data needed for surveillance is not captured in many instances. Acquired information is not received in a timely manner. Right? Ability to communicate critical messages to medical community is impaired, right? So these are some of the reasons. If you have these, it's going to be disconnected systems. We are not going to have one large system. So the idea here is how do you link all this information together to meet our goal? So what did the federal agencies do, right? How many of you are from the states here? Okay. What you experience at the state level, it's the same as what we experience in the federal government. We got different agencies, different missions. None of these systems really talk to each other really well. But what happened in the past 2 years is agencies came together and said, you know, there are common problems. It's not going to be one single solution for everybody, but there are common problems. Let us look at those common problems and figure out what are those common solutions that we can build across the federal government. And some of the drivers for them is fastest to market, right? You can build solutions much faster and make it available to agencies. So under the Federal Health Architecture, we're able to do something similar. It's cheaper for federal agencies. We were able to do the Connect solution for less than the first release that came out in the first year, costed us approximately $6 million. Think of each agency who have to do the same thing, right? What we want to do is make it available to the private sector, and I'll talk a little more about it later. But another aspect to that is access to more relevant and timely information. Jim was talking about that. For SSA, for CDC, the same thing, right? It is making sure the information is available. And then also making sure we have enhanced service for the beneficiaries. What do I mean by this? Today, if someone look at eligibility determination, the number of agencies that an individual has to touch, SSA, CMS, DOD, VA, right? You have to, and the individual is doing the coordination across all these different agencies. What we want to get to is the coordination happens at the back end and making a service available to the citizen on the eligibility aspect. Right? Similar, there are many other services that we can talk about from CMS or even from SSA perspective. And the federal agencies, as part of this movement, we expect the state, tribal, and the private sector to streamline and also support interoperable exchange of health information. So the federal health architecture is a consortium of over 20 federal agencies with health-related activities. It's an e-government initiative. So my shop runs only if I provide good solutions to agencies. Otherwise, they're going to walk away from me, right? So I need to make sure the solutions that we provide for the federal agencies is what they, what is going to help them advance their mission. How do we do business within the federal health architecture community? We help agencies build the tools and solutions that are required in the five steps, whether it's procuring a fighter jet, or buying a PC for your office, the federal agencies have to go through these five steps. You have to identify the need, architect the solution, plan investments, investment planning, implement the solutions, and measure progress. And regarding measuring progress, as you have seen, the dashboard concept that the federal CIO Vivek Kundra has introduced is pretty much in those lines. So what is the Nationwide Health Information Network? How many of you are aware of this initiative, the Nationwide Health Information Network? That's good. That's good. The idea here is not to build a large database or to lay cables around the country to connect all these systems. It is about using the new generation technologies, making sure there is a trust framework, there is the required standards and specifications available, and a governance model to exchange the information from existing systems. And so what is Connect? Connect is a software implementation of the specifications that have been agreed at the national level for the Nationwide Health Information Network. This happened in 2007, end of 2007, when the agencies came together. The initiative was kicked off. The Nationwide Health Information Network initiative was kicked off. The question was, should the agencies be proactive or reactive on what is going on? They said, let's be proactive. They agreed that the FHA, the Federal Health Architecture Initiative, is going to build a common solution that they can repurpose across all the different federal agencies. The first year, in 12 months, so this is something unprecedented in the federal government, right? And the credit goes to all the federal agencies as part of this. This is what I was talking about, the value earlier. In 12 months, the idea was conceived, the product was built, seven agencies demonstrated the use of exchange with private sector, and the software was released for public consumption. All these happened in 12 months, right? So the ones who did defense, Veterans Affairs, Indian Health, Social Security, CDC, National Cancer Institute, and NDMS, the National Disaster Medical System, are the entities who demonstrated in 2008, early 2009. We're adding more agencies. Our goal is to move from 7 to 14 this year. We have CMS, FDA, and Department of Energy, and a lot more agencies. I can't name them because it's not confirmed yet, but there are more agencies who are going to be part of this. The key thing that you want to notice there is CMS is at the table, right? The Medicare side and the Medicaid side are at the table. 2 weeks back, myself and Rick Friedman, who's the head of Medicaid at CMS, we announced that we will build MIDA, the Medicare Information Technology architecture related components into the Connect solution, right? And will be made available to the states for use. This year, we expect at least four agencies to go into limited production along with SSA. So what is this? The Connect solution, as you know, it is the pipe, right? It's a software implementation of the specifications for the Nationwide Health Information Network. But the idea here is this is a platform for collaboration. Initially, it was with just the federal agencies, right? We have reached out to the private sector right now, reaching out to the state entities on how they can use it. So bringing all of them to the table. But also, this is a platform for innovation. What I mean by that is, we expect the private sector to take these solutions and start building innovative solutions around it. I don't expect to stay in this business of building software for a long time. Let's say in the next 3 to 4 years, the federal government should be out of this business, the private sector is leading this forward, they have the right solutions in the market, and that's it. Just like the way we shouldn't be talking about interoperability separate and healthcare separate. It should be embedded into the solution that is available in the market. So what business problems does Connect solve, right? As I mentioned earlier, secure exchange of interoperable electronic health information. Common solution for agencies. We have unique missions, but there are common things that we all can find at the bottom of the stack, that is information exchange. And then the third one, we spend a lot of money today, and this is all based on programs, right? That's the way money is allocated. There's a new program within the federal government, within an agency, reach out to the state, you build an interface point to point. It can be a Word document, PDF document, it can be Oracle database, it can be an Access database. Everyone does it different ways, right? But what's happening is in the process, it's costing the federal government for the same information being transferred differently, right? So it is just the federal agencies coming together and building common solutions is not going to help the long-term goal. We expect the state entities to do the same thing what we are trying to do at the federal level. There should be much more coordination across the different health, even the health agencies within the state entities. At a high level, I'm not going to go into the details, but this gives you a feel of how things are looked at right now. You have the Connect Gateway is what is allowing entities to exchange in the case. I'm not saying Connect is the only solution in the market. There are multiple solutions in the market, and we encourage multiple entities to build solutions. But Connect Gateway allows you to build an adapter. It's a gateway that's a software solution sits at the edge of your organization that allows you to connect to your proprietary systems. Electronic systems for the exchange of information. This was a slide that we did for DoD and VA. Many of you have heard about the Virtual Lifetime Electronic Record Initiative that President Obama kicked off April 4th, I think, of this year, where there is going to be seamless movement of information, a virtual record for both DoD and VA systems, right? So if you look at it, this is how we were looking at it. The middle, you have the NHIN conventions. A standardized way of doing things. And then that allows you to connect between the two entities, which is 40%, 40 to 60% of the care, and the rest of the care is happening on the private side. That's the bottom half where you see the red box. That's where most of the private sector entities. So we expect that kind of communication that's going to happen, and the national solution is going to help all these different entities to connect to each other. So the public availability of the solution. As I mentioned earlier, the software is available for anyone to use, the 2.2. We do a quarterly release of the product. Every 3 months, the product comes out. You can go onto the website, you can download it and use it. What we have done as of 2 months back, we are making, right from the requirements phase, we'll make everything open. So there's nothing known to one single company. Every company will have the same information about the product cycle so that you guys can take the solution and start building innovative solutions. Right? The person who's, I've hired a gentleman named Brian Bellendorf, who's a founder of the Apache. Many of you know about the web servers and so on. He was the founder, and he is leading that open collaboration movement within FHA to make sure everything we do is very transparent, and it is in line with the open government initiative within the White House. And the solution can be downloaded from the site connectopensource.org. So who do we have in our, as of now? I mean, and I admit, this year we are a bit slow because of the transition, and also we're looking at realigning some of the National Health Information Network activities and the ideals behind it to meet some of the goals set by this administration. So it's a bit slow, but it doesn't mean that we are shut down. We are moving forward. Social Security is moving forward, IHS is moving forward, others are moving forward. You heard about the announcement a few weeks or 2 weeks back by our Vice President Biden, who announced the HIE grants in Chicago. So there is money coming to the states. Make sure you have a great plan that's aligned and so we can move this forward. So these are the different agencies who are at the table right now, private sector entities and the state entities who are. The key thing is these are the three state entities who are connected to CDC today in the demonstration that is going on. So what are the benefits? Why should someone connect to the Nationwide Health Information Network from a public health perspective? Improve the surveillance capabilities by allowing access to an increased number of systems, data sources that is available, and facilitate important communications between public health and the clinical care community. These cannot be two separate activities. You cannot have a public health running on its own and the clinical care running on its own. We want to make sure these two are well integrated. Quality of care, right? Once you have the information available during clinical care, it's going to help the quality of care of the individual. So we want to make sure the information is, and there's a project right now at CDC that is looking into a similar where it's called, my understanding is an info button project where in an EHR you should be able to click based on the individual's information, de-identified information, you can send information back to a decision support system, can tell you what is happening in that, for that, based on the patient situation, what's happening in that particular region, right? I don't have all the details, but there's a very interesting project. We want to see these kind of innovative things. We want to see how these things are well integrated. Health disparities can be recognized, assessed, and evaluated more effectively with more robust surveillance capabilities. I've been talking about this, I would say, for the past few months. How do we make health information exchange a commodity? The federal government has spent a lot of money in the past years in trying to set up health information exchanges around the country. And most of the money is being used for setting up the hardware, the software, the legal aspects of it. How do we, as an industry, as a society, how do we make that? Just like what has happened in the other parts of the IT industry, right? If you today, very few people talk about or even industry makes money on web servers or websites, right? Everyone is moving up the stack. Look at Oracle, for example. They were a true database company. Where are they today? They have moved up to the application level, right? What they're trying to do is the same thing we want to apply within health information exchange. We want health information exchange to become a commodity, just like a phone service, right? So the first step is make it easy. Make health information exchange easy. It should not be a 5 to 6 year project to do set up a health information exchange shop. Second, the health information exchange must be a common place in clinical care. It should not be an add-on, just like what I was talking about the public health thing. It should be part of how things are done in clinical care. And once you free the data, once the data gets out of these systems in a secure and with the right privacy protections, I need to say that, is to make sure that once the data is there, innovation happens on the edges. Right? Look at what has happened with the internet. When internet was first conceived, no one thought about eHarmony or eBay or any of these systems, right? It's once the data is available, innovation happens, and that's what we all are good at. The industry is extremely good at that, doing that. Not the government, but the industry is really good at that. So we expect the industry, once the data gets out there, start building innovative solutions, build mashups, right? You talk about iPhone. Why is so many people attracted to that? What about all these mashup applications? It's not that one individual or one company can identify all the best applications. But if you have different applications, how can you figure out, how can we mash up these applications? The concept about EHR and PHR, the way I look at it is in 10 years, 10, 15 years, according to me, that's not a federal statement, but according to me, is there going to be an EHR or a PHR? Because that is, again, contained within the box, EHR thinking and the PHR thinking. What we need to look forward is linked data. Once you have information about an individual, just like talking to my mother, you get one view of fish. When you talk to my brother, another one. My friends, my colleagues, different views. But once all this information is available, you get a 3D view of fish, right? Think about a scenario like that in healthcare, about a patient. So that's where we want to go. We want to make sure health information exchange becomes a commodity. It should not be difficult for people to implement it, or it's going to take another 5 years for me to do it. We want to move away from that and really focus on making sure that data is available and that becomes a value. So with that said, I want to talk, wrap it up with a few other aspects on healthcare. Throughout our nation's history, public health decision makers could only make best decisions possible with the information they have. So consider the worldwide influenza that happened in the 1917-18 timeframe. It affected 25% of the US citizens. And in the fall of 1918, in November, 30,000 people marched onto the streets of San Francisco to celebrate the end of World War I. And everyone was wearing a face mask. 10 days later, the city officials said that it's safe now, they can remove the face mask. 1 month later, 5,000 new cases of influenza was reported. At that point, 675,000 Americans had lost their life. Over 50 million people around the world. And the average life expectancy was dropped by 12 years. So today, the risk is still there. We have much better information systems. We do exchange, but the exchange of information is critical. Folks, let us make sure we work towards achieving our goal of freeing the data, because the key message here is the patient is waiting. Thank you. With that, open for questions. Oh, the slides? Yes, it will be available, yes. But also, if you want to, regarding the slides, but regarding the software and all the activities that are going on, connectopensource.org, you will have all the things. And related architecture discussions, the video is on youtube.com. So we are really, you know, the federal government is really bad at communicating, right? We are trying to change that. Go ahead. Yeah, so there is an HIE grant announcement, and the information is available on hhs.gov. Go to the website healthit.hhs.gov, or even if you search on Google, you should be able to get the information. There's approximately $564 million that's going out to the states for health information exchange. We are not allowed to, as you know, we are not allowed to talk about it. It's in law, so. But you know, these are things we are going to learn as we move forward. And as a nation, we'll have to figure out, you know. We have done much better things in technology, so we should be able to find out a better way of doing that. Any more questions?
Question for Jim. Yeah.
Well, I talked about $100 being, as an example, for Alaska. Actually, our national reimbursement rate for medical evidence, on average, is about $1,250. So Alaska is like way out there.
One patient, one piece of information.
So I talked about 3 to 4 requests per case. Mm-hmm. Typically, we get about 75% response. So you know, for an average case today, we're paying in the $35 to $40 range. Frankly, we don't expect our net costs to change a whole lot as we move to using electronic health records, but they're going to be spread out differently. because it's very likely, right now, the way our disability process works is we take a claim and then we request medical evidence to support that claim. If you're denied at the first step, then you can appeal and you can appeal and you can appeal. What we expect to be doing in the future, in probably the 5 to 7 year time frame, is literally subscribing to a claimant's medical record so that as updated medical information becomes available on that patient, it is sent to us, it's analyzed by our business rules engine, by our decision support system, and alerts to human beings only happen when they need to happen. So we expect our net cost to be the same in the future, but we're gonna be doing a lot more transactions, okay? So whereas today we may do one request to a hospital for an initial claim, in the future we may do 3 requests to that same hospital, probably about the same cost or the same reimbursement to the hospital for 3 different transactions. But those are 3 different transactions.
But the hospital will still make the same, get that payment?
Their net will probably be about the same, but they won't have anybody pulling paper records. Does that, you kind of got where I'm going with that? Is our per transaction cost will probably be lower, but we'll have many more transactions.
If you don't have questions, I'm going to ask you questions. So. Right, so the Open Government Initiative, it's more on the operations side rather than individually identifiable information. So how programs are run within the federal government, the quality measures, the cost measures, a good example is CMS. They hold a lot of information about the cost and quality of the beneficiaries they take care of, right? So making sure that information is available. The other aspect is the idea that Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, is to help agencies look at how these programs are running, right? So the way we do it is money is allocated to a program, and the program, it's well implemented, it's taking care of the beneficiary, everyone is happy, right? But are we really taking that information about our operations and say, push it back and say, okay, are we doing new things? Can we be much more innovative in the way we do things? A good example is SSA. Right? They could have done the same thing they've been doing till now. People are getting benefits, people are okay with that. But they did see a lot more opportunities in that space, right? So we want to really think about, just like any private sector, when you have profitable companies, you have to do these kind of pushing the data back into your source and say, okay, am I doing the right things? How can I improve my service? So the things that, for us, the ROI in the federal government is better services for the citizens. Right? How are we measuring that? So from an SSA perspective, it takes months to process a claim. How can we reduce that to where someone is at the office, SSA field office, and you can give an answer right then and there? If it is a private sector company, if I do that, I have an edge. Customers are going to come to me, right? We have to look at it from that perspective in the federal government. It's about providing the right services on a timely manner to the beneficiaries. So the data.gov and the dashboard concept, a good example is when the dashboard, what we did was we were putting up all the IT investments, what we call OMB 300s, information on the web. But that was document-based, right? No one was interested in looking at it. What Office of the Management and Budget did was they took that information, made it very graphically user-friendly, and get the message out there. The first week of the announcement, VA pulled back 45 of their IT projects because the overall rating for the projects were very low. Right? That is, we want to be that good. I mean, it's public money. We need to look at everything we do in the federal government, do analysis, make sure we are moving it forward, doing the right things to improve it. It's not that these things were done with bad intentions. It was done because if you don't do these kind of activities, looking at what you did, how you're making improvements, you're not going to really improve your process, right? Many of you in the private sector, you understand from your company perspective how organizations do it. We have to do the same thing in the federal government. So open government, that the idea behind that is to make it much more transparent in everything that we do. I mean, you can apply that principle across, right? A good example, as I said, when we say we make the Connect software available to the public, we want to also make sure we are open in the way we do things, right? It's not to build everything and then make it available, right? Right from the start, every company has the same opportunity accessing that information. So that is the overall theme of the open government. We are still learning a lot more. Nothing has been very clear, but the idea is to make sure more of these activities are known to each other. Can you be a little more?
Yeah, I mean, different federal agencies have different needs, as you mentioned. And obviously, they need to collect data in different formats and different levels of granularity. So how do we all agree about what a particular vocabulary means? And are there tools available to help people come to agreement?
So the initiator, it's a good question. The initiator, so why was the National Coordinator's Office formed? It's to really achieve that goal of interoperability. And today, it's a good question. The reason is because when we brought all the agencies to the table and said, is there any way we can look at some of these commonalities across ourselves? And everyone said, no, we all are unique, right? And they said, okay, let's do some analysis. Let's do that. Let's look at your business needs, not technology, not SNOMEDs, the HL7s, none of those. Let's look at your business opportunities. And then we all came to the common denominator that information has to be exchanged. Whether it's SSA, DOD, VA, IHS, everyone has to do, including CDC. Everyone has to exchange information. Today, what you have, the Connect solution, is a common solution that is used by all these agencies. That doesn't mean they have unique needs. Every agency has their unique needs to meet their unique mission, right? But there are unique solutions that can be built at the lower part. That's what I was talking about, a stack. You look at the bottom part of the stack, there are commonalities across everyone, right? And then you build it from that on top. Now, from a standards perspective, there are bodies, there is the overarching body in the federal government, and it's not a federal government, yeah, it's a FACA body, Federal Advisory Committee body, that looks at this called HIT Policy Committee. And Jim is a member of that. It's made up of the leaders across all the agencies and the private sector to really advance interoperability forward. So they look at some of the common needs across in the country, and then they transfer that requirements to HIT Standards Committee. There's another body called the HIT Standards Committee, made of, again, public and private sector, right? And they look at the needs. We haven't been through a process yet, but something similar that happened in the past 4 or 5 years was that you identify a use case, a need, right? Example, lab information getting to from the lab results into an EHR. That requirement is transferred to the Standards Committee. They look at the standards requirements for that particular transaction. They write what they call the interoperability specifications, and then entities are expected to implement it. Now, in the federal government, whatever comes through this common process, these standards, the agencies are required under the Executive Order 13410 to implement those standards in the federal government for those particular business functions, right? Now, from an agency perspective, Jim, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about it, because when we first went live with that Israel mechanism, and we went through it with Major James Ball. It's an iterative process, you know, mapping their EHR or their records repository to our CCD. It's not, the vocabularies don't match up 100%. You know, there's semantic differences. And it is an iterative process. But we're like among the first to do this, to try and bridge clinical and non-clinical. Clinical to clinical is going to be a little bit easier because, well, frankly, they do speak the same language. But I think that John Halamka and the folks that work collaboratively in the Health IT Standards Panel, they've been working really hard this summer to take the current HITSB standards and to kind of repackage them in a much more common solution, implementable solution way. And I think that as this year goes on and we get early into next year, we're going to see implementation guides for some of the HITSB standards that are going to be much more practical, much easier to get from here to there than some of what we've seen in the past. It is an iterative process, though. Everything is not going to link up perfectly the first time. At Social Security, we're viewing this, the contracts that I talked about, as kind of the next iteration, moving us closer to common terminologies, common vocabularies, and standards that we can use in the 3 to 5 year time frame that are pretty much plug and play. But it's an iterative process.
Thank you, Jim. Do you want to add something to how IHS is looking at standards and how you guys are using it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, as you said, it is an iterative process. We've been looking at what we have, trying to get into the CCD. In addition, you know, some of the new data elements that have come out, like we've been highly involved with the Family Health History tool from the Surgeon General and looking at how their standards were, what we had. We had much less data elements in our Family Health History file than what they have. As we try to catch up with them, the Family Health History tool is now moving towards SNOMED. We don't have SNOMED in our system yet, so we're iterating our Family Health History B codes over to those codes in the time being until we can get to that point and get them operative. So I just mirror what you said.
Thank you. So the key message there is we don't have answers to all the problems and all the solutions, right? But once you get together and start figuring out what the problems are, I think there's much better chance for us to be successful rather than one entity, just the federal government deciding on something and then expecting everyone to do it. Let's get everyone to the table, and everyone are participating. That's a good thing, right? Things have changed in the past few years, and I think we just need to make use of this momentum. If we don't, if we fail this time, I don't think we are going to have another chance. So it may be each of us in this room and even the people you know, you've got to communicate that. Let's make it happen this time. Any other question? So how many of you think, from an NHIN perspective, we are moving in the right direction, what the federal agencies are doing? Give me your thoughts. Whatever you think, good or bad, I'm here to take both. Good.
I think it's excellent, because we have a lot of expertise, and it should be global. It's our failure to not leverage all that expertise that has made it so difficult. The fact that the ONC and the NINCONNECT initiative has gone to open architecture, open standards, open collaboration is really the key to successfully addressing our most pressing public health problems.
Great. Yes. No, it happened last week.
So, what are the lessons learned? Are they going to be posted in the Connectosis source?
Yes. Everything is up there, yes. Okay. Everything I said, maybe a few hours late, but we tried to post as much as information as we can onto the website. It was a great event. You know, we planned this just like the conference that we had in July. We were planning for 200 to 300 people. We had like 1,400 people registered for the conference, right? Codathon, what the Codathon is, what we decided, okay, we have a solution, software solution, let's bring the best minds around the country, from the industry, state, and the federal government, together in a room, and let them hack at the software solution, right? Look at the holes in the thing, what needs to be improved, how do you make it much more open, platform independent, right? All these ideas that are coming from the website. So we have a community that is big. Our expectation is this becomes an ecosystem on its own, right? It should not be something the federal government is going to babysit and feed constantly into this. We want to make sure there's an ecosystem around it. Our expectation was approximately 30 to 40 programmers. And people are coming at their own dime to attend this thing. Within the first 3 days, we opened the registration. 130 we had to shut down, right? And the reason why you see that kind of enthusiasm and engagement from both the federal, state, for public reasons, but also from the private sector is public reasons, good for the country, but also they see opportunity in moving this forward, right? They can build innovative solutions around it, sell it back to the market, right? So that's why you see these kind of moments. This is not something about FHA right now, the federal health architecture or the federal agencies. This is a movement. It is happening today. And if you don't have enough information, please go to the website, be part of it, make sure we can move this forward. Any other questions? Good question. Jim, you want to take that?
Yeah. Well, actually, Vish, it's really much more your department than it is mine, but I guess since my brethren are right up the street from Social Security headquarters in Baltimore, there are 40 billion reasons why providers should want to do this.
Oh, I think certainly they want to, and they definitely want federal money to stand it up. Right? But
no, for those of you don't know, I mean, there's $40 billion on the table. On stimulus act money, incentive payments for Medicare for providers who provide service to Medicare and Medicaid patients to implement electronic health records. The whole idea behind meaningful use and the work that we've been doing on the policy committee is to define meaningful use and define interoperability so that not only do we have decision support systems, electronic health records in use in clinical settings, but that they are interoperable. And we, in fact, do free the data to move across clinical settings to improve coordination of care, reduce duplication, and ultimately provide higher quality care at a lower cost. It's a brave new world, frankly, in many, many clinical settings. For doctors and hospitals that have not implemented electronic health record systems, it is a brave new world. But if you look at the New England Journal of Medicine study that was done with Dr. Blumenthal, that he co-authored, there's some information there about barriers to adoption. And the financial barrier is the biggest barrier. And once you get over that, and part of this is, you know, we've got to bring the hospital CIOs together with the clinicians, you know, around informatics. So that they can understand that there's a financial benefit to putting in an EHR as well as clinical benefits. But I think that the incentives will kind of get them over that financial hump. And then that is just a matter of using tools like the health information exchange, the extension centers there's what I guess 450 million per billion.
I think it's 650. $600 and something million dollars.
There's hundreds of millions of dollars available for the health information exchange extension centers. Those will also, I think, help the clinicians, the hospitals, and the doctors kind of get over the second hump, which is changing the way they practice medicine or changing the way they run their practice. So financial incentives, technical assistance, and then ultimately meaningful use and interoperability.
Right. I think just to add to that, there's a regional extension center grant that was announced along with HIE grants.
That's the one I'm
hearing. Yes, regional extension center grant, which is approximately $600 million. It's kind of the geek shops around the country to really help entities procure, implement, and also change workflow in clinical care. Right. So the idea here is not to make sure, I mean, we can throw $20 to $40 billion to all the providers and say, okay, why don't you implement an EHR? But that's not the end goal. The end goal is to make sure that the workflow, it's part of the way they do business, right, can overall improve the quality of care. And that's what you're trying to measure through the meaningful use activities. Okay, so I hope we answered your question. There's money, and you may want to...
Some of these hospitals might not know, okay, how do we change our business model to not just stand it up with federal money, but to sustain it over time?
Right.
I don't think we should have those. Ignoring technology, as more efficient business practices, they've gotten as much bang for the buck out of that, and then moving on to knowledge and technology at that point. So you can't ignore that, and I think what you're saying is true. But, and I would say, even inside the federal government with FDA, our biggest barrier is not having technology, it's getting people to change the way they do work and accept how to incorporate technology into the area. Business practice. I do think we have not spent enough time really concentrating on that aspect of the change process. I think we need to put more money into that as much as we're putting into data standards and data interchange. I think the business process may be very can't be underestimated.
And I agree with you 100% on what you just said. Also, we have to make sure, and as I said earlier, this is not about just giving money to make something happen, right? We need to have that long-term transformation. And there are a lot of, look at the smoking thing, right? How long it took for the country to move away? It took decades for us to move away from getting the message loud and clear to people, or even cholesterol, for example, right? This societal transformation, it's going to take many, many years for us to get to that point. But I think if we do have a good start, we have the eye on the ball, I think we'll get there.
I think the smoking and the cholesterol are good examples where there was a vested financial interest in opposition to the improving public health. And I'm wondering if you see the vested financial interest in standing up this potential in the way that you're talking about.
Tim, you want to start or you want me to?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Okay. All right. So and I think, see, one of the biggest issues we have in healthcare, and as you all know, there is a disconnect between the care and the individual who's getting the care, right? For me, I don't know how much is being paid for my care, right? One of the aspects of this whole thing is to make sure that the individuals are part of the process, fully part of the process, right? So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect, the way I see from an industry perspective is, and the way I look at it from an information data availability, I can build much better effective solutions in the market, right? Look at, I mean, I use iPhone as an example. iPhone doesn't make all the applications for iPhone, right? All these different applications. And then what happened is every individual created, different organization created a different application. They started making money out of that, right? Then some others started mashing these things up. They're making money out of it, right? So if you have the individual well engaged in the process, I think there is a lot to say about that particular aspect in healthcare, which you have not, I don't know how we're going to really address, and hopefully reform is going to address some of these aspects also. But we want to make sure part of the process is the individuals are well engaged in the process. And each of us have a role to play in that too. And then I always use the example, when I was looking for a pediatrician for my son, I asked the question, you know, do they have an EHR? Because he's going to live, he lives for a long time. And if he doesn't have all this information, how are we going to do that? So there's a role for the patient, making sure that the process supports or engages the patient, that's one. Second thing is making sure that each of us have a role to demand that, right? Not just as a patient, as a citizen for the country, to make the system much better, right? And then industries will find ways to make money, no doubt about that, you know? I've been on that side, right? I know how this game is being played, right? But they can always, when I say not in the bad way, what I mean by that is they can always, innovation always happen. And the industry will be well engaged in this process.
I have a question. What is the role of health departments? And I've heard a lot about hospitals and clinicians. And for health departments that serve, who operate as safety net providers, and serve those who do not have health insurance or adequate access to care, what is their role? How do they fit in?
You mean public health from a population health perspective or from a public health clinical perspective?
From the public health clinical.
Right. So safety net providers. And part of many of the things that are happening right now with HRSA, there are HRSA grants going out, and also part of the HIT grant process, there is money going through HRSA into community clinics. We are working very closely with some of these community networks, community care networks, to make sure they are enabled, health information exchange, and expecting, hopefully we'll have some more details in the coming months, but we are working very closely with some of these community clinics. Any more questions? Great. Thank you very much. Round of applause for these two speakers, please. Thank you. Thank you very much.